All right, so let's jump on let's jump over to presidential politics for a minute.
Oy, that's a pretty big jump.
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
Speaking of bloodied and dragged off unwillingly, somebody texts that the Trumps nobody's at the White House for the annual Easter egg roll.
They were supposed to put on the Easter egg roll.
But I don't think there's any Trumps there.
It was like a last minute thing, though, because somebody
forgot
literally
about
dropped the egg.
Well, it's a brand new administration, and let's face it, it is a lot of political, not insiders.
But
so
in
there's
the past,
that.
In the past, it has been through the First Lady's office.
Okay.
In the White House.
Well, that's
that
gotta
has
be.
Worked on arranging that, and those people who would normally do it do not exist in the current administration. I'm not saying the First Lady doesn't. I'm saying the staff that
Does
would normally
put
that.
Does she not have the normal size staff? That,
no.
Yeah, because she's not really, she hasn't been there much.
No.
Been there for a few things. And I'm not going to throw a lot of blame on that because I don't think Melania signed up for this, and I don't blame her for not wanting to be there. That's fine. That's
wait a
call.
Minute. But she didn't sign up for it, but her husband is the President of the United States. Whether she signed up for it or not, she is now the First Lady.
She is. But that doesn't mean she has to do everything the First Ladies have traditionally
done. They did
done.
Say they were going to shake things up in Washington.
Well, listen, if we're going to get mad about this, there's a whole list of things that have been done differently or maybe people don't love. Melania's office, I'm not going to throw any shade at Melania ever, I don't think, in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I will say this. Yeah, her husband ran for office, so this bears her responsibility, but spouses don't always sign up for this. I would never be able to run for office. Colleen would kill me if I ever tried to do this because she would want no part of. She doesn't like public speaking. She doesn't like leaving voicemails, for goodness sakes. It makes her nervous. So she would kill me if I did something that was high profile that she had to be involved in. And for Melania, I just don't think, you know, she wants to raise her son and God bless her. Let her do her thing. I mean, the First Lady's office, I think, is very important, but it's been taken on by people who wanted to. And every First Lady is different. Some are extremely involved, Hillary Clinton level involved. Some are much more, you know, out of the limelight. Was Mrs. Carter very involved in things? I can't imagine she was, Rosalind Carter.
Right.
I'm sure it's been very different over the years. So you'd like to at least think the staff is in place to make sure things are working right. But as you said, you know, there's probably not enough. They probably needed to just have some more holdovers from the previous administration, even if they didn't want to, just to make sure things are working right.
Yeah, you know? But see, that I think that's something they didn't want to do.
I think you're right about that.
Just
seems to be that way.
Yeah.
So they're not there for the Easter egg roll. Well, that's something. Now, if Ivanka is going to pick up some things to help out with, here's one she could have done that wouldn't have made everybody irate, right?
Okay.
I mean, she tweeted something about supporting librarians. And she is getting trolled so hard because they're like, yeah, thanks for your support while your dad is cutting all of our funding.
Oops.
There's that. After we take a break, we're going to get to the news at 4, but I want to play some audio from the Maria Bartiromo. Did you hear the interview that Maria Bartiromo did with President Trump this week? It's been replayed a bit.
Oh, I missed
really,
that.
Really fascinating to me. The interview she did with him about his dinner with President Xi from China. And when he told him about the missiles and things like that. We'll get to that after the news. 312-981-7200. We can take your calls and texts as well. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you. 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the Trib Tower. Roger Badish up in the newsroom just behind the glass hanging out with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's all I know. Okay. So, Raj.
Yeah.
First of all, we're going to get into Donald Trump's interview with Maria Bartiromo. Do you remember the nickname that first made Maria Bartiromo very famous, or when she became famous, what her nickname was?
No.
She's a money and business reporter.
Yes, that's what I remember her from with those special reports.
Yes. She was always reporting like live from the floor.
Right.
On CNBC from the stock exchange.
Mm-hmm.
She was the money honey is what they called her.
Oh, is that what they called her?
They did back in the day. But
she's come a long way since.
She has. And she interviewed President Trump earlier this week. And we're going to play a little bit of that in a few minutes. I had to copy a story about Kellyanne Conway. I feel like we haven't heard as much about Kellyanne Conway lately.
That's
I don't
okay.
know exactly why. And that's the other audio I forgot to have Jess pull.
Oh,
is
okay.
Sean Spicer's press conference
oh, please.
About Syria.
When you know, he's said, really bummed out right now. You know why?
Even Hitler didn't use gas on his own people. I mean,
yeah.
Well, if you don't count that whole thing, I know he said Holocaust centers. Oh, my God. It was just like. So have you ever seen the show Veep on HBO?
I saw the first episode a long time ago.
And it didn't take, right? You and I talked about this.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a hilarious show. And it's bawdy and funny, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus is incredible. She tweeted out earlier this week a video that somebody had made. So at the end credits of Veep every week, while the credits are going, there's usually some sort of, like, you know, horrific mistakes they're making within this administration. They did the Veep credits over that press conference where he's just, like, tripping over himself, saying even Hitler didn't do that. And then somebody, the reporter, then like a few minutes later, because they're monitoring Twitter, like on their phones, Twitter's blowing up over him saying this. You just said even Hitler didn't do that. What did you? Well, I understand your point, but, you know, I know that when it, oh, God, it's I'll ask Jess to try to pull that before the show's over. It's
That's
if
crazy.
You didn't hear it, it's just amazing.
I saw something that Veep pulled something off of one of the shows. For some reason, something.
Oh, really?
I forgot what it was now. I just saw it yesterday.
This is a little too real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I forgot what it was, but. Like,
Kellyanne Conway spoke at D.C.'s Newseum during an all-day examination of journalism in the Trump era. Other speakers included recent Pulitzer Prize winner David Fahrenthold of The Washington Post and Press Secretary Sean Spicer. What does Conway, the woman who coined the term alternative facts to describe the information that President Trump relayed to the country regarding his inauguration, have to say about honesty in the media? Quote, you can turn on the TV more than you can read in the paper because I assume editors are still doing their jobs in most places. And people literally say things that just aren't true, Conway said with no trace of irony. The crowd at the Newseum promptly laughed in her face, to which she nodded and smiled as if to note she was in on the joke.
She wasn't in on the joke, I'll bet you.
Conway also complained about the words journalists used to discuss Trump on Twitter. Quote, I think we have to have a conversation about the use of Twitter among the media, too, because there are things said about this president on Twitter that would never pass an editor's desk. I see people live tweeting at Spicer during his press conference. Again, Conway skimmed over the irony of President Trump's own Twitter feed, a veritable graveyard of name-calling and insults. Perhaps the most memorable moment of her long interview, though, came when moderator Michael Wolff of The Hollywood Reporter quoted back to her the Washington Post's new tagline, Democracy Dies in Darkness. I'm going to tell you when they say democracy dies in darkness, you're the darkness, Wolff said. Again, the audience laughed. Conway paused before responding, I'm not the darkness. Oh, Kellyanne. Man, this is going to be just the craziest ass 4 years. You know, it'd be a good time to be a political science professor in college.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't even have to fall on a side. Just stepping back, like an out-of-body experience,
mm-hmm.
trying not to be political about any of it. Just the dissemination, the use of facts, the use of, I mean, just everything is just, God, it's fascinating.
That was my minor in college.
Really?
Actually. Yep. Government, political science.
Hmm. And that's one to grow on. Jess, do you have the audio of the Maria Bartiromo interview that you've been editing? Can you go ahead and fire that up? This takes a few minutes. We'll talk about it afterwards. Listen into this.
The Syria strike has damaged our relationship with Russia.
That I don't know. I can't tell you. But I can tell you that I think aligning yourself with Assad is a big mistake because he's a butcher. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very bad for Russia, and I think they ought to get peace fast.
Win anything like it. And frankly, Putin is backing a person that's truly an evil person. And I think it's very bad for Russia. I think it's very bad for mankind. It's very bad for this world. But when you drop gas or bombs or barrel bombs, they have these massive barrels with dynamite, and they drop them right in the middle of a group of people, And in all fairness, you see the same kids, no arms, no legs, no face. This is an animal. And I really think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Russia to make sure that peace happens. Because frankly, if Russia didn't go in and back this animal, you wouldn't have a problem right now. He was going to be overthrown. I thought he was gone. He had another week. I mean, he was finished. He had nothing, nothing. And then Russia came in and saved him. And then Obama made one of the worst deals in history with the Iran deal. So you really have Iran and you have Russia and you have Assad.
You redirected Navy ships to go toward the Korean Peninsula. What are we doing right now in terms of North Korea?
You never know, do you? You never know.
That's all you're going to say.
You know, I don't talk about the military. Yes. I'm not like Obama, where they talk about in 4 months we're raiding, we're going to hit Mosul. And in the meantime, they get ready, and like you never saw. Look, they're still fighting. Mosul was supposed to last for a week, and now they've been fighting it for many months, and so many more people died. I don't want to talk about it. We are sending an armada. Very powerful. We have submarines. Very powerful. Far more powerful than the aircraft carrier, that I can tell you. And we have the best military people on Earth. And I will say this, he is doing the wrong thing. He's making a big mistake.
Do you think he's mentally fit?
I don't know. I don't know him, but he's doing the wrong thing. I had a very, very good meeting with President Xi of China. Really liked him. We had a great chemistry, I think. I mean, at least I had a great chemistry. Maybe he didn't like me, but I think he liked me. We were going to have a 10 or 15 minute sit down. It lasted for 3 hours. Then the next day it was another schedule, because everything's very orderly with the Chinese, frankly. And we had meetings scheduled. Well, the 15 minutes on the first day lasted for 3 hours. The 15 minutes on the second day lasted for 2 hours, just one-on-one, the two of us with interpreters. And I mean, we understand each other. I think he's, you know, a person that I got along with really well. We had a good chemistry.
Did he give you any suggestion that he would help with North Korea?
We had to.
Did you get into trade and currency?
First thing I brought up was North Korea. So you got to help us with North Korea, because we can't allow it, and it's no good for you. And you have a tremendous power because of trade. Now, he then explains thousands of years of history with Korea. Not that easy. In other words, not as simple as people would think. They've had tremendous conflict with Korea over the years. Now, his father was in China 4 times. He was never in China. So I said, look, you have a tremendous power because of trading through the border. They don't get food. They don't get, you know, they can't sell their coal. In fact, I hear today 2 massive coal ships from North Korea were sent back to North Korea, heading to China. They were sent back, which is a very good sign. But I think China can help us. I hope China can help us. We talked about trade, and I can tell you, China will do much better on trade if they help us with North Korea.
And you think he knows that?
I think he knows that. I told him that, yeah.
When you were with the president of China, you're launching these military strikes. Was that planned? How did that come about, that it's happening right then? Because right there you're saying, a reminder, here's who the superpower in the world is.
You have no idea how many people want to hear the answer to this. I have watched speculation for 3 days now on what that was like.
When did you tell us?
But I'll tell
you. Before dessert?
But I will tell you. Only because you've treated me so good for so long, I have to tell you, right? I was sitting at the table. We had finished dinner. We're now having dessert. And we had the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake that you've ever seen. And President Xi was enjoying it. And I was given the message from the generals that the ships are locked and loaded. What do you do? And we made a determination to do it. So the missiles were on the way. And I said, Mr. President, let me explain something to you. This is during dessert. We've just fired 59 missiles, all of which hit, by the way, unbelievable, from, you know, hundreds of miles away, all of which hit. Amazing.
Unmanned. Brilliant.
It's so incredible. It's brilliant. It's genius. Our technology, our equipment is better than anybody by a factor of 5. I mean, what we have in terms of technology, nobody can even come close to competing. Now, we're going to start getting it because, you know, the military has been cut back and depleted so badly. by the past administration and by the war in Iraq, which was another disaster.
There's so many things in that whole press, that little bit of that audio of that interview. First of all, let me jump on. Let me rephrase that. Let me talk about Maria Bartiromo for a second, who I really like and respect as an anchor and a reporter. And John interviewed her back when I was with John over the years. And I love her. But she's gushing and fawning during this interview. It drives me insane. What did he tell? What was it like? What did you tell him? Stop it. Ask the questions. And don't, you know, seem giddy about the whole thing. The most beautiful piece of chocolate cake you've ever seen. God, it's just so annoying hearing the way he talks about some of these things. But I was very interested in the way he gushes about. And President Trump sounds so, and I know he's not a politician, he hasn't been around the military stuff, but he sounds so amazed and fascinated by the technology and these missiles, the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, and unmanned, oh God, it's incredible, the technology, what we have. I never knew. It's crazy. I mean, you've seen all these other wars where, I mean, remember the whole Iraq war like in 92 when we're shooting out the missiles in the sky and all this other stuff? It's not that surprising that we're able to pull this off, is it? It shouldn't be. And he goes on and on about how great the technology is. We got the greatest people in the world. And then it's like it suddenly a light went off and said, oh, that's right. Wait, but which is very depleted. We have the greatest stuff and we're going to get it because of the past administration. I wonder if a president in history, now some of you might say that President Obama pulled the same thing when he got in office saying, what a mess I've been left, what of this, what of that, what of this, what of that. We were in one of the biggest economic downturns very quickly once he took office. And so I'm going to say there was a little more justification for saying what I was handed. President Trump came into a stock market already at 19,000 that shot up to 20,000, low gas prices. I mean, everything was kind of going in his favor, I think. So for him to constantly bring up Hillary or Obama is just annoying as hell to me because I don't understand the fixation on the past because it's not like we have a bunch of huge problems. He keeps saying we have these huge problems that he's fixing, and I know there's a lot of problems, but these things he keeps pointing out and throwing at them, I don't know. I just don't get it. So that was weird how he gushes, and it's always a commercial for Mar-a-Lago or some Trump property. I mean, he's talking about how we're sending Tomahawk missiles to destroy these things in Syria over the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake. If you ever come down, Maria, you got to come have dinner at the Winter White House because of the chocolate. And I'll tell you, I want a piece of this damn chocolate cake. All I can think about is I'm picturing it. I'm thinking of a Portillo's-like kind of slice of chocolate cake. Probably huge, though. Probably just a ginormous piece of chocolate cake. But the chemistry was good between him and President Xi, and all these things were good. And I don't know. 312-981-7200. I just don't know sometimes what to make of what's going on in the world here. And so I'm looking up, and it looks like that China really did send some coal back to North Korea. So maybe, and we were talking about this as Patty's show ended. I don't know why I don't worry about North Korea. I guess just because they don't have it yet. And I think that we can't let them get with such an unstable regime. You really don't want them to end up with some true nuclear capabilities. But how do you stop it besides cutting them off? Eventually, if they get the technology, then what do you do? Because then they threaten to use it. So then you're going to soften on all these things. And it'll be a real interesting test of President Trump because he has hammered President Obama so hard on that Iran deal. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now and what he does. And something else that was been very interesting and pointed out on social media throughout the week this last week, every time President Trump complains about Obama for something, there is a tweet from his past or he does something. So, you know, he's golfing like crazy or at his properties and golfing like crazy. And all he did was go on and on about President Obama and his golfing, President Obama and his travel, President Obama being not transparent. You know, as the story comes out today that they're not going to release the White House visitor logs. And everything that happens in this White House, they can find a tweet that President Trump had sent back in the past complaining about some other administration or about Obama's administration. It's crazy. Like whatever he does, somebody tweeted earlier this week that if President Trump walked down the street and stepped on a rake and got slapped in the head, we'd find some tweet from 2012 that says, only fat losers step on a rake and get slapped in the head. It's like no matter what he does right now, there is some tweet of him complaining about Obama doing it in the past. It's crazy.
And yet his base...
If you love somebody, you love somebody, Raj. Right. I mean, that's how it is.
Well, I understand. And yeah, but I'm not singling out President Trump and his base. Every president has had their base.
Yes.
That through thick and thin, no matter what, that's their president, no matter what.
It just seems the thin's a little thinner this time around, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's... I have a feeling as a citizen that it feels like our government, federal government, just doesn't quite have its act together. And I'm talking about all levels of the government. Yes, there are a lot of departments that don't have leaders right now. They have acting leaders. And I think that speaks to the style of management that President Trump has. He runs his company that way. He makes the decisions. He has a couple of very, very, very close right-hand people, and they are usually his family. And that's how, and he said that during the campaign, that this is how he wanted to run government, because government he felt was bloated and overbearing, and he wanted to change things in Washington. And he has. I guess I'm giving him more benefit of the doubt. I personally feel the jury is still out as to how effective this will be. It's only been 100 days-ish. There are not many presidents in history that have made significant forward-looking changes in Washington after 100 days.
I think people promise too much within the first 100 days. And I know that maybe that's a campaign thing, but, you know, I don't know that I want you getting in there and changing a bunch of stuff in the first 100 days. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know that we elected change and we did this and we did that and get in there and get it done. But I really think it would be more effective for you to go, I'll talk to you after 100 days. Let me figure out what the hell's going on here, because there's all this stuff that I got to learn now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for President Trump, who it's not like he was vice president or been in the Senate all these years.
Held any other governmental style office.
He's been running a business.
Yeah.
And now, as much as I'm going to move in and change things running like a business, well, I got to get in here first and figure out who is everybody, what are they doing, and then let's go from there. Because no matter how much you spout it off during a campaign about what you're going to change and I don't like this and I don't like that, now you got to get in there and figure out, well, what's really going on? What can we change? Who do we have to work with? You know, they rush themselves into the healthcare thing. That's the biggest, the craziest thing is that literally for 7 years, the whole Republican Party was anti-Obamacare.
Right.
And they went on and on about it. Yet, and they have control of everything right now. If they want to change anything, as long as they all stick together, it's easy to do. They had 7 years to figure out how to do this and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
So that's stunning. They weren't able to pull that off, you know?
It's very telling. And it leads to other areas of discussion about all of that. Most of it more political than medical.
And I think that's the biggest, one of the biggest maybe reasons that President Trump shouldn't have come in as, I know he had to go, blustery is what got him there, right?
Right.
But once he got in there, I feel like he should have realized you don't get to, it's not going to work like the Trump organization.
You're
not
going to be able to come in and just. He couldn't have realized because he didn't have that background.
It doesn't matter. Even I know that he's got to get Congress to go along with some stuff. He can't just go in and say, this is what you're doing. I mean, anybody knows you don't have to have run for office before to understand how the government works.
But again,
Jared could have told him.
But the point, one of the points that attracted him to the voters was that he didn't care how it worked. He was going to make it work his way.
I understand, but he should have realized early on that it's not going to work as much that way as you want. He is the king of making it appear another way. he could have worked better behind the scenes with people and then made it look like he just bullied his way, and he could have figured that out. All right, quick call from Harold before we do the news. Hey, Harold, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing, Roger? Hey, listen, I heard that clip before. I actually watched it the other day. I saw it on TV. I looked it up on YouTube. And but you played more of it. You played most of the views I saw of it. It started into the conversation that you showed earlier part of the conversation, and it cracks me up because he was sitting there talking, and he says I don't go and tell you that we're going to Mosul. I don't know my military plans. I'm not going to do that. He says Obama did it. That's why we're all messed up. Blah blah blah. That's why we're all messed up. Now we're sending like
an armada.
An armada, and there's going to be bigger ships. I'm like, you just started telling us everything that is like, here comes the armada. Don't work on Thursday and Friday next week, North Korea, because we'll be showing up.
Harold, I can't believe you're going to make me defend President Trump here, but here I go. I will say, in his defense, that he didn't say, and we're going in and attacking. I don't know how accurate his whole assessment of what happened in Mosul is. But, you know, but you send the ships there and he's saying how we have all this power, but he's not saying we're going to attack. He's not saying we're going to do anything. It's just a little more presence and we're ready and we're threatening. I don't know. I'm going to give him a pass on that one because he...
let those ships show up and, you know, surprise them. And then he'd be like, you know, it's...
surprise!
And the other thing is, too, is that he's talking about the cruise missiles that he sent to Syria,
right?
59 of them. And he goes on about how powerful they are and how great the technology, and they're so accurate. And they can't, you know, you can't miss with these things. They're so great. They're the best. They go so fast. And then I think she says, and they're unmanned, too, aren't they? And I everyone has a pilot, of course. How are they going to get there?
Unmanned. No, there's a guy in the front of it. He's flying. He jumps off at the last second. It's all good.
Exactly. And then she says, so he's going on and he says, these things are great and it's so incredible. And he says, we don't have them because the past administration, wasted them. So we just don't have these things, but we're going to have them. And I'm like, we sent 59 of them or we don't have them. Which is it?
Yeah. Yeah, he talks out of both ends on that because he's gushing about the power of our military. But it's depleted. But we got nothing. We got nothing left. It's terrible what was done to us. Harold, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful morning, sir. We've got to get to the news next. Quick break on 720 WGN. Mabu Bala with you, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. 20 minutes left. Then we'll get the morning show with Max and O here on the mothership. 312-981-7200. So I'm getting chided by 815. Okay. Is it possible for you not to focus on the arbitrary negative things from this administration? Or are you just going to continue the slander fest and not talk about any of the possibly positive things? Been listening to GN for nearly 20 years, but I'm seriously going to have to reconsider my choices. All right, well, I don't think I'm talking about arbitrary negatives in general. And when you say possibly positive things, that means that you're kind of on the fence about things, too. Tell me the positives. And listen, I just defended President Trump on the North Korea thing because I don't think he gave away the plans to North Korea like he accuses. And I don't know how accurate that is, but he accuses the previous administration of doing.
Right.
I will try to give him credit where I see credit to be given. And there are some things like the way he handles these other countries and the military stuff. I will say in general, I don't know if he's crazy or crazy like a fox, because I will give this, that people are on the other countries, I think, are a little more on notice. And I think that maybe President Obama did get played a little bit by Iran and stuff, where everybody kept pushing the sanctions, because President Obama was diplomacy first. And I applaud that. And that's what I wanted. But I do think there's a bit of notice that other countries might be under right now. And maybe that's going to get us in trouble and not play out well. But North Korea is probably a lot more worried about getting stopped in its tracks than it was under President Obama. President Obama was not going to send a bunch of warships and threaten to blow them to hell. President Trump will threaten that. and would be way more likely to act out on it than just about anybody else, would be my guess. Now, how good his relations are with China and everybody else and whether he can pull that off, or really, I think it is important, very important, that North Korea be stopped from really gaining access to truly good technology when it comes to nuclear weapons. Because those crazy, that dude will send something.
I have a concern like he does not care. Got it.
And we just don't realize it?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I think
maybe he's got it, but
I think
can't
we
get
do
it
realize
yet.
It, and I think that our country's military advisors and spy network, for lack of a better term, have been aware of it for a while, and that they've informed the president, and that this hard line he's drawn is mostly based on that, I think.
Why
as
do you
opposed
think this?
To
you're just guessing.
I am guessing, and I'm not trying to use logic, because a lot of times in political science there is no logic, because you're dealing with individuals, you're dealing with some individuals who are extremely diplomatic. You're dealing with other individuals who are who want to rule the world, and it's hard to read them sometimes. So even though Kim Jong-un has already displayed very publicly that they are testing these missiles, that they have these capabilities. I've been watching part of CNN tonight, and they were showing video of craters in North Korea that are pure indicators of atomic tests below ground. And so...
I never understand the nuclear below ground test.
What do you mean?
So they're exploding these bombs below ground so that they're not polluting the air, I'm guessing, correct?
Right, correct. Very correct.
So you're polluting the snot out of underground,
mm-hmm.
and do they really know how far that's going and what that's doing?
I don't think they care.
Well, you have to care at some point, because you worry about crops and different things like that.
Yeah, but you're out in the middle of nowhere where there aren't any crops, and you're hundreds of miles away from anything that might be affected.
It's ground that we don't really care if it's, you know, contaminated.
Well, look at how close Vegas is to the nuclear testing site.
Look at Vegas now, Raj.
Yeah, it glows in the dark.
See? But back then, we probably didn't know as much.
No.
We haven't blown up a bomb outside of Vegas in a good 40
years, I'm guessing. We just didn't want to alarm people by saying we're exploding the bomb and you could die from the exposure, you know. There are a lot of variables.
Yeah,
My dad was at one of the nuclear test sites
when they did it
after Korea. Yeah, he was in Korea and he was at one of the nuclear test sites out in Nevada, and I'm not sure what his exposure was. I'm not sure exactly where he was. I remember him telling me that he was, but again. You know, it's the physical effect on him was not evident. So, again, not quite sure. I'm sure it can be measured, but it's that stuff that they're not telling the public.
Well, I will say this, Raj. If I'm going to guess North Korea does not have it yet. So I hope I'm right and you're wrong. Because I do
does
think,
not have the atomic
I hope they don't have
material
the
capability of delivering it.
Well, I'm guessing they don't have the capability of delivering it yet. And I'm hoping they don't have enough to truly arm themselves as far as nuclear material yet. I'm hoping there's still a chance to stop it, because I do think that that's the ultimate power. And I don't blame them at all for putting all of their resources into trying to get a nuclear bomb that is capable of being delivered, because that is the ultimate negotiating chip.
Right.
I mean, it's worked very well for Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It worked very well for a lot of countries, because we threaten, then they get it, then we have to deal.
Right.
Then we lift sanctions. We do this as long as you promise this and take it back and allow the inspectors and do all these things. North Korea can get their way out of a lot of stuff, I would think, by getting the material and getting it put together and proving we can do this. Now you have to take us seriously. Now we're not just some rogue nation. Now we've got it. And yep. Now it levels out their playing field quite a bit.
Yeah.
So they're going to keep going after it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He's not going to back down. He's proven in the past that he doesn't back down.
It's fascinating because, you know, we talk about Iraq being kind of a preemptive strike, right? And that's mm-hmm. how President Bush looked at it and said, listen, we're not waiting to be attacked anymore. We're
right.
not waiting for it to come to our shores. We're going to go get them. Now, of course, that didn't turn out quite like we all would have hoped.
Not quite.
But if the U.S. said, you know, if we wait 6 more months, they have a nuclear bomb, and we don't know that we can just negotiate our way out of this, they might just say, screw it, we don't care, we're taking somebody out. What do you do? Do you preemptively act and take things out?
Well, there's no good outcome. There's no good outcome, because if you react and go preemptive, now you've got somebody retaliating, and now you've got war. And
maybe
and,
you do, maybe you don't. I mean,
yeah, but
take
I
out
think
North
you
Korea's
do.
Capabilities.
This is the fine line that is out there that all these countries walk every day.
Yeah.
It is a cold war out there still. It is something that a leader of a country has to deal with every minute of every day. We're not all kumbaya in the world. Unfortunately, even in this day and age, in 2017, after 2 world wars, after several conflicts, and I'm referring to Vietnam and others.
Sure.
That many people considered to have been wars, even after what's still going on in the Middle East, this is a lot of saber rattling, as it's called, out there still, and people should be aware of it, and they should not feel comfy in their homes, because it is starting to become public. This has always been there, behind the scenes. But now North Korea is starting to show the capabilities, and it's scary, because it's not the fact that they've got a bomb and they could bomb Japan, Hawaii, somewhere, maybe not necessarily the West Coast, but they can bomb. The scary part is what comes next. What comes next? What's the answer? Do you let them keep doing it? Do you bomb them? If you bomb them, who's going to support them? Who's
well,
going to support
that's
us?
The thing is if,
and
if,
how many times do you send bombs back and forth?
If there is going to be action, you certainly hope that the administration can build a coalition, get China on their side, get Japan on their mm-hmm. side, get everybody working together to say we've got to do this. And there is a hesitancy whenever you get nations together to actually
right.
take actual action. 312-981-7200, quick break, 720 WGN.